You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. It is June 28th, 2025. This is your WWE Night of Champions review. We are here in the beautiful Fightful Studios in Lexington, Kentucky. Got lots to talk about. Lots of stuff emanating from SmackDown last night, from Night of Champions today. SmackDown back to 2 hours. There's going to be a lot of people happy about that. I am going to roll in like Roman Reigns at SummerSlam into some of those post shows as well. Now that those are 2 hours, we've got Raw that is going to be 2 hours earlier this week. Yeah, boy is excited for that. But if you are here on whatever platform that you're watching us on, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, any of that, we are on podcast platforms everywhere as well. Apple, Spotify, all that good stuff. Might be your first time here. You're in for a treat. Every Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, we've got reviews for Raw, SmackDown, NXT, AEW Dynamite, Collision, and TNA. Programming note for today, the wonderful gentlemen at Grapsity usually go live at noon, but since this show is on, they'll be going live on Sunday at noon Eastern. So make sure you check them out. Plenty of stuff for you to see here at Fightful. On this channel alone, this YouTube channel, as I say, as we're live, an Abyss interview this week, Holly Hood, Haley J before her big power slap. We have Fightful Presents, Public Enemies run in WWF. But by God, we are here to talk WWE Night of Champions and the week that has sort of followed or preceded Night of Champions, rather. There were a lot of production issues yesterday that caused retapings and edits and all that. FightfulSelect.com had the details on that. I'll tell you more about that later on. But if you want your question or statement read on the air right here, donate a super chat here at youtube.com/Fightful or a humper chat over at humperchats.com. That's hump like a camel's hump, our wonderful mascot here at Fightful. You can get your questions in before whatever that may be. And you may say, well, Sean, why would I want to ask you a question? Well, because we got more backstage news than anywhere else in wrestling. Let's talk about this show. Our duty, Boo Mania 14 says, what do you make of Blake Monroe's comments on her YouTube blog? She said, I feel a little dejected or felt a little dejected at the end of last year and didn't know if WWE was an option for me. And then Ibu Mania says, bet there are more women that feel this way in AEW but are scared to speak out. Ibu Mania, I bet there's a lot of women or people in AEW, WWE, TNA, any place that feel that way. It's hard to look at what Deonna Purrazzo has said and think that she doesn't feel dejected, right? It's hard to see Natalya going out and wrestling quite literally everywhere that she can and believe that she doesn't feel a little dejected. You know what I mean? That's going to be the case wherever you go. And that's the beauty of competition, because not everybody is going to be used the quote unquote right way all the time. But I will say this, Blake Monroe was the world champion at the end of last year. She was about to work a program with Toni Storm, another one, what ended up being one of the best in women's wrestling history. She was working with Mina Shirakawa, who's very close to you or close to her, but you also don't know what anybody's going through or how they feel or what their goals might be either. Like for me personally, my goal was to never to get to ESPN or Sports Illustrated or anything like that. I just wanted to be literally the best at an element of this that I could be. I can't speak to Blake Monroe's goals. It's clear that she had dreams of going to WWE because she said as much, but there's always going to be people that feel like they could do better and be booked in a better situation, even as champions, quite frankly. And AEW, WWE, anybody like that is not necessarily exempt from that either. Like we have seen so many uninspired title reigns and bookings and the like along the way. So I just hope that she gets what she's looking for in WWE and that she accomplishes all of her dreams. You want anybody to do that. Cody Rhodes has certainly accomplished many of his dreams, and I hope you all did too over at MyBookieAG. There was an underdog pick that hit today, Solo Sikoa winning the U.S. title, but yeah, boys at Fightful had spoilers at FightfulSelect.com on the King and Queen of the Ring winners, and if you would have bet on that, you would have made yourself a little bit of money. Right now at MyBookieAG, when you use the code Fightful, you get a $50 bonus when you deposit $100, or you can get a $100 bonus when you bet, or deposit rather, $200. Please only bet what you can, and please bet responsibly. But we had Cody Rhodes defeating Randy Orton. So this match and the main event in the structure of in-ring were very similar, in that it was a lot of playing the hits. And I think that that is a formula, honestly, that is working really, really well for a lot of these mid-40s wrestlers. Like Cody Rhodes can wrestle any damn style you want. That's just how he is. But when you get the Randy Ortons, the John Cenas, the CM Punks, especially when they face each other or someone else at a high level, you're going to see a lot of similar cadences. And you're going to see the power slam. You're going to see stomps around the body. You're going to see a lot of RKOs. You're going to see somebody getting their finisher stolen. You're going to see a lot of teases for the punt and things like that. And that's what you do see out of Randy Orton, CM Punk, John Cena, and probably what you're going to see out of a lot of other guys that get to their mid-40s. It's a style that works. It's one especially that the WWE audience seems to really enjoy and pick up on. I liked it. I mean, looking at the card tonight, like I was sports entertained by about everything, right? Like didn't hate anything on the show. Crowd was hot. I mean, I see some people in the chat saying awful PLE, did not equate to a good PLE, but it's probably ain't gonna be the review for you, because I apparently my bar for entertainment is much lower than many in our chat. But I will plug FightfulSelect.com. There is a much more sour review that is done over there. It felt like the entrances were longer on this show. Am I alone in that? I felt like the entrances took an awful long time. And not that anything's wrong with that. They wanted to do like sort of a grand entrance, so to speak. I like the throwback promo or the pyro from Randy Orton as well. That was cool. It's a real shame that they had a lot of their promo adjusted, because of the editing issues. There was, WWE claimed there was a power issue in Gorilla and in the control panel, but somebody that worked on the show tried to tell me that wasn't necessarily the case. But I know that for a lot of people, they were like, oh man, they're just throwing this match out of nowhere. But to me, if you want to add a big match to the end of King of the Ring and show people, no, this King of the Ring is going to be very important, I think you got to do stuff like this. And of course, down the line, Cody and Randy aren't going anywhere. Randy wants to wrestle for a very, very long time. Like, he still enjoys it, still loves it. Everything I've ever talked with him about and heard him say is that he wants to do it for a very long time. Cody's still going to be doing it for a long time. Signed a new contract, I want to say last year or something like that. But there were some elements of this that were quite interesting. So first off, they played the hits, but that RKO sold the crowd a ticket. I didn't think that Cody Rhodes is going to lose this, because to me, and what I looked and what I reported on FightfulSelect.com, was that Cody Rhodes versus John Cena in the rematch has been the plan all along. And I've been posting on the Twitter subscriptions that I donate to charity my thoughts on this a little bit as well. To me, it's got to be Cena handing back the torch to Cody Rhodes. He can't just beat the new guy and then not sort of reward it back. And then I think Cena goes on his babyface tour. So I've always seen that as a real possibility. What I feel bad about is that what I presume, this is a presumption, not a report, that like Rock and Travis Scott just peaced out and kind of left them hanging to just solve whatever it is that they're doing. And for somebody that works as hard as Cody Rhodes, I really hate that. But I was particularly interested by the end of this match, because Randy Orton did the ruse. Now, he went and grabbed the chair, and I was like, okay, this is lame. Why do they always do this? But it was a ruse just to get the ref's attention off so he could untie the turnbuckle. He ends up eating the steel, and then the crossroads happens. And I don't know if they shot like a look to Cody Rhodes or anything like that. Like, did he notice that happened? Like, is this a seed being planted for the future? Because Randy couldn't punt him for at first. Then he tried, and Cody avoided it. But what he could do was try to bash his head on a piece of steel. So, I mean, that hesitation probably costed him within the context of kayfabe. So are we going to start to see Randy Orton harden a little bit? No pun intended. BlueChew.com, code Fightful. But like, Randy's like not on a retirement tour or anything. He's not like on a, well, this is going to be a Twilight type of run or anything like that. He's got years left. So there's still probably heel runs left in him if they're planting the seeds for this. But Cody Rhodes becomes King of the Ring. Again, enjoyable match, I thought. Cody Rhodes joins Ken Shamrock and Harley Race as the three men to win the NWA World's Championship and King of the Ring. He is also the first ever King of the Ring that has previously won a main event of WrestleMania. Bret Hart won King of the Ring after he main evented WrestleMania. And then, you know, Hulk Hogan came in and did that whole thing. Plenty have gone on to main event WrestleMania. And then there was Ted DiBiase, who the same year that main evented WrestleMania in an unadvertised match, because it was a tournament, did win King of the Ring. So interestingly enough, Cody Rhodes is the first man to go on last at WrestleMania in an advertised match and then go on to win the King of the Ring.
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta could make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariana. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Which is wild when you think about it. But yeah, it's fine. But this is not going to be the last time they have a match. I mean, I think we know that. They're going to compete against each other many times in the future and play more off their history. And they were supposed to a lot more last night. They had those edits. FightfulSelect.com reported on some of them. And I actually like how they made do with the side view, that angle. That we ended up seeing on SmackDown later in the night. Now, your boys at NordVPN.com/Fightful had you covered yesterday. A lot of people saying, oh man, I really wish I could have seen things as they originally aired. Well, you could have, and how they didn't air, because I was watching on NordVPN.com/Fightful, and we had a 30-minute outage from the venue. Now, NordVPN.com/Fightful has a great discount plus 4 extra months right now. This starts as low as like under $3 a month. And right now, you can also get an Amazon gift card. You choose the plan, remain a NordVPN customer for 31 days. And after that period, you get an Amazon gift card. There's a ton of tiers that do everything from just change your virtual location and allow you to watch all your WWE content with one Netflix subscription, allows you to save on pay-per-views, get the prices they're paying overseas, watch things a little bit earlier when they are overseas. That's helpful as well. All the way up to threat protection and all that. You might say, Sean, I don't know if I'll know how to use it. Don't know if it'll work for me. Works on all your devices, works on all your operating systems. And you might say, well, how do I know I'll be able to use it? They've got 24/7 tech support. And if for some reason you don't like it, you will. They got a 30-day money-back guarantee. I'm traveling to Texas in about 2 weeks. Going to be at the airport, going to be at the venue, going to be at the hotel. Want to protect myself when I'm on that public Wi-Fi. NordVPN has you covered. We love our friends over at NordVPN.com/Fightful. If you are a wrestling fan and you want to save yourself some money, even if you're like, oh, I have all these services already, I have all that, there is no way you don't save money within the first couple of months with NordVPN. .com/Fightful. Get those super chats and humper chats in. Let me tell you a match I loved. Rhea Ripley versus Raquel Rodriguez. And I really loved some particular psychological standpoints of this match. So I want to get through my one complaint about this match. A talent that I asked... Let me rephrase that. I asked a talent today, do you have gear pretty much prepared for these shows? Or is it I'm booked, I better get something made. And if that was the case, you need talent talking to each other about their gear. Raquel Rodriguez, Rhea Ripley, and Roxanne Perez looked like they had They got together and said, let's all dress like Catwoman. let me make this clear. All of their gear was great. I really admire the lengths that the women go to have incredible gear on these shows. Always in the running for gear of the year. But they all looked like they were about to team up together. I thought Halle Berry was going to run out there in her Catwoman outfit after that and be like, let me at it. So everybody in black, like leather gear and with their dark hair and all that stuff. I was like, okay, this is like if the palette swaps didn't work in Mortal Kombat, but that's where my complaints about this end. Besides the fact that every single match but one had like interference or some cheat spot. Cody Rhodes, Randy Orton didn't have any interference, but this did. This one made sense. It's a street fight. So naturally Roxanne's going to get involved, but I got no problem with that. It makes sense. She's trying to endear herself to Raquel Rodriguez, who is still walking around with the two title belts, right? And based on what I've heard, they are not vacating these titles. I'm in favor of that. Now, do I have any confidence that WWE will book these titles well? No. It has been one of the most consistently underbooked, ignored championships in existence. Although, women's U.S. titles getting there. Have the same, like Chelsea had like 42 matches with Mee Chin. Zelina defended the title successfully once in 2 months. All of my fears about the booking surrounding these championships unfortunately comes true, when really it should open things up and provide people opportunities that haven't been booked. And with the show going to 2 hours, although I am very happy that the show is going to 2 hours, I think that that's going to get way, way worse. Way worse. That being said, Rhea Ripley, Raquel had a kick-ass match. I saw a lot of people saying Rhea Ripley wouldn't be hurt if she lost to Raquel. I don't think that Rhea Ripley would be hurt if she lost to anybody. That woman is bulletproof. She is as over as any women's talent since Becky Lynch 2019. AJ Lee was 2012. Sable 99. Like, very, very few people rank up there with how perennially over Rhea Ripley is. And I just love this match. Rhea got tied up in the ropes, gets beaten with the cane. The kick for the chair into Raquel's face was really, really good. Rhea grabbing her belt, whipping Raquel. They had the Roxanne interference, which, you know, put a little bit of doubt in there. Loved the Raquel twisting senton. It's a great move. But I loved the table psychology here. Because I don't know if you guys realized what they did here. They had a bunch of table spot teases without them actually going through a table. They had the first one with the announce table where they took like the top off, right? And it looked like, oh, well, you assume when that happens, they're going to go through a table. Also, I need a kayfabe reason why that happens. I need a kayfabe reason why monitors and tabletops are removed from the tables. Like, just have Adam Pearce sit down and say, this is why. They get fined $10,000 if they destroy one of these. You know what I mean? As opposed to the table. Now, it wouldn't make as much sense as to why the hell the table doesn't cause that, but then they sort of bridged the table, the top of the table, and did the spot through that, and it was a filthy spot. Like, I looked at it, and I was like, man, I hope Raquel is okay. Hope she's all right. But then there was the spot for the table inside the ring, and there was a great Tahana Bomb counter from Rhea Ripley here as well. And Raquel didn't go through the table. She ended up booting Raquel. And they end up with that bridged on the top rope as well. And they used it as a platform for Rhea to hit that riptide. Somebody said sweeping them off violently breaks stuff regardless. Sure, just give me a kayfabe reason. Just give me a kayfabe reason. This was one of the best riptides I've ever seen. This was a phenomenal finish. It was a great way to integrate tables without breaking tables, which isn't something you see a lot of. Usually, if you're pulling a table out, you are going to break that table or at least a table, or else the crowd is going to revolt against you. And the crowd not only didn't revolt, the crowd loved the finish. I loved the finish. Thought that it was a really, really smart way to do that, while also being like, well, here's a table. It always gets used, right? Not always, at least not in that capacity. And I think you got to do some of that in pro wrestling. You know, there are certain little things. Like, why does anybody do a drop down if it never actually trips anybody, right? Like, you got to look at those things and say, why don't they ever happen? When somebody throws a chair at you, why are you holding it up in front of your face like Rob Van Dam did back in the day? When Rob Van Dam threw a chair at somebody, they didn't expect that to happen. Now we got like 25 years of that happening. So we know that that's coming. These women killed it. They had a fantastic match. And Zeno Hour says, glad the ref holding the table is pleading for Rhea to get off. Also, I have no problems with refs holding ladders, tables, anything like that. It's their job to protect the talent within their own discretion. I do wish they would do a thing on AEW or WWE, even TNA, where you see the refs meeting backstage with the GM and the GMs explain, we want to start enforcing closed fists more, but we also want to leave some discretion to you guys. And you'll see Rick Knox saying, well, I don't care about rules. I'm just enforcing the 1-2-3. You see Aubrey say, I'm going to follow the rules very, very literally. And she's the one that does that. You see Bryce Remsburg say, well, I'm going to give a little bit more leniency on this, this, and this. It'll be discretionary. I think that you should have personalities in that sense. That way it can play into the matches as well. But, Raquel, this is probably her best singles match in a very, very long time. And I know that some people said good match, wrong winner. Raquel's the tag team champion. I would much rather them book her for that right now. If she's going to be tag team champion, do that right now. Now, that's not the way that Triple H has done things with women in WWE. You see them involved in like three storylines and all of a sudden Liv gets hurt. Get well soon to Liv. She had shoulder surgery, but you've got to have some flexibility. You got to have some of that. So I don't mind this. Rhea Ripley's going to be booked near the top regardless. That's just where she is, man. And I've got no problem with that. I really don't. How many run-ins took place today, Sean? Send me a super chat and I'll let you know. That's right. Send me a super chat. Send me a humper chat here at youtube.com/Fightful. This week on the channel, we have a Big Trouble Ben Bishop, a hilarious content creator and wrestler. He's going to be on this Tuesday, I believe it is. Did the interview at Squared Circle Expo. I want to tell you guys about FightfulSelect.com, the best $5.99 a month in the business. I know some of you go, why in the hell would I pay $5.99 for wrestling news? It's not just wrestling news. It is exclusive access to a Discord that I'm in every day answering your questions. It is daily Q&A articles, daily. It is a weekly Q&A with me, bi-weekly with Grapsity. It is additional post shows. Maybe you're like, man, Sean doesn't bury stuff enough. You got Alex Pawlowski over there doing multiple reviews. You might say, man, there are not enough shows and podcasts that cover indie wrestling. Steven Jensen does that. You might say, well, Sean, I can get news anywhere. Yes, sort of. If you want to go to aggregators that I've had to correct every single one of, I mean, that's fine. It's okay. Doesn't bother me. Not really. But some of the things that we have broken this week alone for just $5.99 a month, Cope and Christian, why their program was delayed for All In. We had the SmackDown and Night of Champions rundown. You got Abyss confirming his retirement to Fightful, and he spoke with us. Details behind Kota Ibushi's return, updates on the status of Night of Champions, when they were heading there, when they're leaving, backstage reactions to MJF popping up in MLW, which I'll talk about in a moment. Planned King of the Ring and Queen of the Ring winners, got both of those. Ian Riccaboni's Dynamite status. For the first time ever, we had a TNA producer list. That has never emerged in the years that we've been covering. We had Elijah updates, details on the WWE talent, if they're bonus for Saudi, why the MJF Mark Briscoe program is happening, injury updates. I think we'll probably have another one today. TNA champion who is in their contract year, details on the SmackDown outage and the edits made, Bumpgate, which Karrion Kross, which we're about to talk about, reaction to a John Cena promo that he said didn't go well, news on Shotzi, American Gladiators fallout. We have any given day like three or four exclusive pieces of information, and you can ask us questions there. Plus, You can support original creators for just $5.99 a month, or I think it's $64 a year, just under that, something like that. But you can also gift subscriptions, which we highly encourage you guys to do. So I had some, well, first off, very stupid people burying me because I said that the MJF appearance at MLW was one of the more shocking things that I've seen. Now, I don't think it's a secret. I know MJF a little bit. I have interviewed him since his MLW days. This was the one remaining company that MLW had not worked with the like last 4 or 5 years. They've worked with a ton of people in Japan, CMLL, AAA, a little bit of everybody. And this was the last one. And it was largely because MJF hit the bricks from MLW when the money came from AEW. And there were some contractual issues there. So this was the shoe I was waiting to see drop. And regardless of what you think about MLW, which, by the way, has been filling up their houses for a year plus, MJF returned after 5 years to attack one of the top draws in pro wrestling. And listen, based on what I had heard in the last year or two, I didn't have any anticipation of MLW and AEW working together. But it's good to see they are. Another one, yeah, boys, on FightfulSelect.com had Karrion Kross. Now, I want to clarify some things. And again, please correct me if this is incorrect, but from what I gather, Wade Keller, who I respect immensely, he is a lovely gentleman, a wonderful human being, somebody I really respect in the wrestling media world, had said he talked to people in, I think it was maybe during his NXT days, that said that Kross wouldn't get like a big push because he doesn't back bump or something like that. Now, people online started to be like, oh, we're noticing. And they pointed out like him taking a drop kick and falling on his shoulder. Now, listen, I watch Main Event. I don't know why I do at this point, but I do. So I see Karrion Kross bump all the time, including immediately after that clip that emerged. And I had people after these clips started to emerge, including producers who had worked on his matches, hit me up and say, he's never once complained about taking a bump. If anything, he encourages more. It's not been an issue. People that have worked with him contacted me and said, it's never been an issue with us. So I knew that this man was going to take bumps today. And he did. He lost to Sami Zayn. Pretty good match. If you can't have a good match with Sami Zayn, what the hell are you doing? Wasn't like match of the night, match of the year, anything like that, but fun match, entertaining match with Sami. I did think the pace earlier should have been a little bit faster to really, you know, quell some of those criticisms and stuff. And hopefully they re-sign him because I think he's been a phenomenal character. Now, they have built this match for so long that I thought it was going to happen around WrestleMania weekend. Like, that's Friday, Monday, or just at the show. And it didn't end up happening. And here we are almost in July with Cross's contract up in August, assuming he hasn't re-signed. And they finally did it. And he puts over Sami Zayn. They had a fun match. He did the Saito suplex, German suplex, Death Valley driver. I thought it was probably one of his better main roster matches. I've seen Karrion Kross have good matches with Santos Escobar, Finn Balor, AJ Styles. But like you're when you're talking about Karrion Kross, you're not expecting something like AJ Styles or like Sami Zayn usually has. I think that he has been a phenomenal supporting character who has added to the stories of other people. And I think that is a phenomenal role to fill. And it seems like there are a whole lot of people that are just very, very frustrated by the idea that that is a role in WWE. Like, if you are one of those people that says, man, this guy can't work, shouldn't you be like really, really happy that his role has been effectively limited to, one, a show that is largely not canon, two, a supporting character of which I can't really even see many people talking shit about these days. Like, it's really, really like effective. It's helped a lot of stories emerge and develop and all that. I had a guy that said I was glazing Karrion Kross because I said the guy back bumps. Like, it's not like an opinion. It's an objective fact. Same guy hit my Twitter mentions today and said, well, if he had worked anywhere but WWE, maybe he would have learned. And I'm like, wait, he worked in AAA for years. He worked in New Japan on the strong brand. He worked in TNA. He worked in Lucha Underground. Worked GCW. Did I say Lucha Underground? He worked all those. Then he goes, oh, well, clearly I meant internationally. Man worked in AAA for 2 years. What are we doing here? There are plenty of criticisms. If you don't like his work, if you think he's plodding, as Michael Cole said, if you think he's boring, that's sure, whatever. That's understandable. I get it. Man has had some bad matches. But like, he doesn't back bump. What are we doing here? Well, he took like 6 of them in this match. Young Nasty Man, great reference, by the way. But Sean, Karrion never worked internationally. Stop glazing. I don't understand these people hating on Karrion so hard. Dude is a talent. And again, if you think that guy can't work, you should be like really, really ecstatic that his role has been limited to basically developing feuds for other people on the show and taking up like 2 or 3 minutes of TV time a week while getting over in the process. That is as harmless of a getting over or a push as you could think. But I enjoyed the match. And listen, Blue Thunder Bomb. What a damn move that is, right? Like, Val Venus could never do a Blue Thunder Bomb half as good as this. I really liked the Helluva kick getting missed and the choke being put on. The slaps in the corner. Like, listen, that's going to be like a personal taste thing if you like the talking to your opponent in the corner type of thing. But Sammy ends up getting the win. And again, I have liked what Karrion Kross has done. I think that he is a very useful character and really, like, I talk a lot about Dominic Mysterio and how he could just straight up steal the Eddie Guerrero gimmick and people would love it because it makes sense. Karrion Kross has like this mixture of Just Joe and Sean O'Hare, two gimmicks that should have been, I did this like it's four, two gimmicks that were really perfect for pro wrestling, but they didn't take off. And he has sort of combined those with his own thing and has done really, really well with them. And Sami Zayn is a guy that he's clearly not going to win the title at SummerSlam, but I could see him winning that title at WrestleMania. There's a few people I could see. If Sami could beat anybody for the title and it's him sort of finishing his story, right? But I still think that Braun Breaker ends up facing Seth Rollins. Oh, man. U.S. title. Oh, by the way, Bet Online wishes. Canceled. My bookie, AG, had Sami Zayn to win that match. But Solo Sikoa was the underdog. He ended up winning. So you cashed in if you bet on Solo Sikoa here. So, boy, is this ever keeping the tradition of the bloodline alive. A billion damn run-ins. JC Mateo, who was there, who's probably going to be the workhorse of this group. Solo Sikoa, Jacob Fatu have a sirloin beef sons of bitches match. And, run in. Tongaloa is back. Glad to see him healthy, first off. Tamatanga is still out, but Hikuleo, which B2K1 says, love how Michael Cole doesn't have a name for Hikuleo. Just, we've seen him in Japan. So there's that. He hits a choke slam on Jacob Fatu. And he says, like, you had everything. So looks like the bloodline was dead. It is not dead. They just sort of revived it and branched it off over here. Now, they did explain on commentary that Tongaloa and Hikuleo are brothers. They are Haku's sons. I am Crush NC says, please kill the bloodline or kill me. This angle's been dead since Mania 39. Love Fightful. Watch Deadlock Pro. Love Deadlock Pro. So I know a lot of people are like, yeah, but they're not really in the family. And I mean, that's honestly probably meat on the bone that they can get into. Like Jacob Fatu can say, we distanced ourselves from them for a reason. But I mean, there is at least, you know, for everybody that's peripherally related, right? Like The Rock is blood, like via blood brothers with the Anoa'is. So it's not like a literal relation, but they are like his grandfather and the Anoa'is are blood brothers. The Rock grew up with Nia Jax, or at least took to Nia Jax very early. Tamina, who again isn't a member of the family, is somebody who The Rock has had a lot of love for. But he also called Haku Uncle Tonga. Like, this is in old interviews and stuff. So The Rock, who the blood brother thing is what connects him, brings all these peripheral members of the family around. I really wish the meat of that was explored. Right? Like, I really wish that was, because there is so much meat on the bone there. And they, I think there are ways that you can do it. And if you want to sort of have your own, like, blood.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl. It's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl. Happy Friday. It's Jen. Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts. Like, last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Line, civil war type of thing. I get it. Like, for years and years, people were like, oh, well, the Bullet Club element in WWE, they made their own. They got their own bloodline. They did that, and then they branched it off all these different ways. But listen, I want to say good for Solo Sikoa, because this is a guy who for a while looked like it was just going to be woefully underperforming. And then when he got to speak in his own voice and we saw more of his own personality, that shined through, and he's a very entertaining guy. And I think that was certainly best for him. Certainly best for him. Good for him. Good for him. At what point, again, the same with the Judgment Day, at what point are your refs not completely buried, though? And at what point are your GM figures not like, all right, guys, I see this. You're going to lose your job if this continues. Right? KE says, does Seth cash in on Cody at SummerSlam? I think there's a real possibility, but not to fly past your super chat, but I think that another option is likelier. So let's talk about it. Jade Cargill defeated Asuka to win the Queen of the Ring. Ya boys. At FightfulSelect.com reported that this was going to be the case. I thought this was a well-constructed match, of which Asuka worked really hard to make Jade Cargill look good. Jade Cargill is still very green. But I didn't see anything particularly offensive here. It was constructed to have Jade look not just strong, but also make her look wise in the form of counters specifically. So that's like a pro wrestling thing specifically. It's one thing to just do moves, but it's another thing to be able to counter someone with the technical prowess of Asuka. Or as Barrett called her repeatedly, Asuka. But there was like, I like the choke slam. Boy, it was like an early 90s choke slam. And I like that. I like that. We're talking like a big up, boom, plant style choke slam. There was the power bomb, and then there was the kicks. I thought Jade did good selling the kicks as well. Now, most of the offense was Jade's, at least that I noticed. And they made it sound like, oh my God, she went through hell and back. And I was like, man, no. It felt like to me, like the majority of this match was Jade countering and hitting Asuka with like a choke slam, a power bomb, her finish, like something like that, right? Like it didn't seem like Asuka put the paint on her too much. Maybe I glanced down or something. This match was about 8.5 minutes, but the crowd sucked. Yeah, the elbow strikes were not good. And, you know, we're talking about her and Tiffany Stratton. They have been in the ring for the same amount of time. And Tiffany is certainly somebody that you look at in the ring and you got more confidence in that. I would imagine they are going to practice their match at practice their match quite a bit before SummerSlam. And honestly, I think that they will probably have Jade win this. I really do. And I think that Naomi is going to cash in on Jade. And I think that she should. So some of the things that I took issue with here, elbow strikes were really bad. The pin, I'm like, well, I wondered if her shoulder was even down. And then the promo afterwards, like, listen, I tweeted this also. Jade Cargill doesn't look like a superhero. Superheroes look like Jade Cargill. But also, it's got to be rounded out, right? Like, you can sign other people that are big and jacked and charismatic and have presence. You can't always be like, okay, well, we can put her in here with a veteran. And I know a lot of people said, well, Goldberg. It was a way different situation. Such an undeniable talent in that situation. But the promo afterwards, like, I know that she is under the microscope all the time by me, by fans, by anybody. And a lot of people say the same thing. Not good in the ring. Needs to round things out. Still very green. This didn't look good. That didn't look good. But it was a very, like, I'm an underdog. You can accomplish anything. Don't listen to what anybody says about you. And I'm like, do you see yourself? You are not an underdog. Jade Cargill is not an underdog. And that was sort of the issue they ran into with The Undertaker in the 90s, right? How can you make that guy sympathetic when, one, he doesn't sell, and two, he's bigger than everybody else? Jade sells, though. I will say that. Jade sells. Undertaker's gimmick was not selling. So as a result, they had to put Undertaker with way bigger guys and like people that could be threatening physically or people that outweighed him. And quite frankly, unless your name was Yokozuna, most of the time that sucked. Or Diesel. King Kong Bundy sucked. Kamala, it sucked. The fake Undertaker, it sucked. Giant Gonzalez, it sucked. So you got to run into it. It's hard to make Jade Cargill a sympathetic figure. And the crowd just didn't like her anyway. Crowd didn't like her. And that sucks. But crowd didn't give anything for this match. But I think that Naomi cashes in at SummerSlam immediately after this match. I really think that Jade could have used the benefit of NXT. And I understand they didn't want to do that because it was one of the first big talent that they signed away from AEW. And when they were signing away talent from AEW at that point, they very much wanted to make it a look at what we will do for you thing. And that's smart as a recruiting tool to be like, I mean, listen, Cody was going to get to WrestleMania no matter what, literally undeniable. But Jade getting, you know, brought along the way that she did and put on the main roster. And now to a lesser extent, it's like Mariah May, you're in a top program. Ricky Starks winning the title, Ethan Page winning the title, stuff like that. Triple H says to the crowd, chanting for one more Punk versus Cena match, says there ain't one more match in this. And let's talk about, actually, I want to tell you about our wonderful partners at helixsleep.com/Fightful. I'll give you some background here. About four or five, it was 5 years ago, I was not getting good sleep. I was restless. I had some back injuries. I wasn't feeling good and I needed to invest in my sleep. I was that guy that spent a couple $100 on a memory foam slab on Amazon. And I was like, let's see how it works. Well, it didn't work out good, friends. And I thought about it and it's the approach I take. I go, well, I'm ideally going to spend a third of my day or night in bed, third of your life in bed. I need to invest in that accordingly. And I found helixsleep.com/Fightful. Before it was helixsleep.com/Fightful. Went online, took their sleep quiz, got matched up to the mattress that fit right for me. They've got ones for everybody. Ones that will cool you down, ones that will align your spine, ones that are for plus size sleepers. They even have kids' mattresses. It customizes it for you. Because at that time, pandemic was going on, didn't want to go to a mattress store, roll around on one that other people were doing, but I wanted to make sure I got the mattress right for me. Found their 30,000 plus 5-star reviews, saw their great money back guarantee, risk-free offer. Also saw the ability that, to send it back if for some reason I didn't like it, but I loved it so much that I bought a second one. Also got one and gifted my mother. Got great flexible financing plans. They got great options as well. Right now, get 27% off any purchase for a limited time using the code Fightful at helixsleep.com/Fightful. A limited lifetime warranty. It's assembled in the U.S. and it's got free shipping on all orders. If for some reason you don't like it, they will come get it. Go to helixsleep.com/Fightful. Check out the core collection, the luxe collection, the elite collection. See what Good Housekeeping, what Wired, what GQ, what Forbes, what everybody is speaking about. New York Times even put them over. HelixSleep.com/Fightful. And now they have over 50,000 plus 5-star reviews and flexible payment plans. HelixSleep.com/Fightful. Person says, we're sour grapes. SRS doesn't do it for me. Well, let me tell you, first off, don't need to announce that. Second off, if you like sour grapes that much, you know exactly where it is. It's at FightfulSelect.com. If you need directions, it's FightfulSelect.com. It's $5.99 a month. It's a wonderful deal. They will be live momentarily if they're not already. Get your super chats, get your humper chats in. So, also, Alex announced it'd be later in the evening. So you're stuck with me. Triple H spoke on Punk's apology. He said, people grow, people change, people evolve, and they learn a lot in life. Not only was I privileged to watch two men grow as people, especially CM Punk, I'm privileged to see him grow as a man. Step out there and just cherish where he is at life and his career. I was incredibly proud of him. So let's discuss that before anything else. CM Punk really got it this week. And as a guy who has been the main character on Twitter far too many times, especially the last 2 weeks, I sympathize with that. But, and one could argue the same for me, a lot of what we see with the CM Punk thing. A lot of what we see with the CM Punk thing is a personality point element. We have seen him have issues with Elijah Burke, with Ryback, with Triple H, with Hangman Page, with Matt Jackson, Nick Jackson, Jack Perry, a lot of people, right? Like a lot of people, including a lot of people who don't have issues with anybody else. We've heard about how he kept Christopher Daniels and the Hardys or Matt Hardy away from Collision when he was there. You've also heard about a lot of wonderful things that he's done, especially since he's been back in WWE. I've heard nothing but wonderful stories about how he's been there. And perhaps his experiences in AEW sort of lended to that. Now, one of those people he had an issue with at one time was Miz, who does not have issues with anybody else. Quite frankly, everybody I have ever spoken to that works with Miz likes Miz. And he was very playful in doing a promo on Fox. And in 2018, 2019, CM Punk tweeted, "Go suck a blood money covered dick in Saudi Arabia, you fucking dork." Please pardon my language. And upon his return to WWE, of which he had already made good with Miz for, by the way, this was a big thing that people had on their calendars circled, like, ah, we're finally going to pack him up and get him out of here. He's finally, Well, he got injured and missed the first couple rounds. This year, they only have one show in Saudi as they prepare for a big show in January and probably two more next year. CM Punk's apology at the kickoff show was a little bit interesting because he's like, well, I was crabby and it had nothing to do with Saudi Arabia. And I'm like, well, it had something to do with it. It did. It certainly did. He answered an interview and said, I'm not going over there. It seems kind of shady. And listen, your boy has had plenty of Saudi fans this week calling me racist, threatening me. I mean, not even privately, not even in the DMs, like publicly telling me I should die and get hurt and all that stuff. Just because I tweeted updates on whether or not they were going to cancel the show. They take that stuff very personally. Now, with the CM Punk stuff, I could see that, right? Now, also, a lot of this was fresh off the heels of the Jamal Khashoggi murder. You all can look that up on your own. And you got to do a big recap on that. There were some real human rights concerns, especially as things started. And those can't be ignored regardless of anything else. But to say that it didn't have anything to do with Saudi Arabia, it had something to do with it. You can say it didn't have anything to do with the residents of Saudi Arabia, which is something that many of their fans seem to have trouble grasping. There are plenty that have reached out to me and said, no, listen, we get it as well. But like, this first emanated from his issues with that and the character specifically of CM Punk blending with the man CM Punk. The moral high ground and all that stuff for a lot of this, you know, and a lot of people conflating that for straight edge society and a lot of character elements as well. CM Punk has stood up for some pretty publicly for some pretty noble situations and causes, called out Chris Brown for striking a woman, has spoken openly about trans rights. But it's understandable why some people took issues with a guy who is billed himself as anti-establishment, walking back some of that. Now, it's his to walk back if he wants to. but you can understand why some people might say, oh, well, okay, what about this? As they did years ago, when the guy who is known for the pipe bomb got upset when people cut promos that blended reality. So there are an awful lot of these instances that people look at. And listen, I grew up really admiring CM Punk, and to this day, he's one of my favorite performers. But yeah, I was a straight-edge teenager in Kentucky, and contrary to what the internet believes, still am straight-edge, outside of a little weed to help the neck to get to sleep and all that. But like, when you're a teenager or your early 20s in Kentucky, there's not a lot to do but drink and party. And I wasn't doing that. A guy on TV by the name of CM Punk who was like, no, straight edge is actually cool and it's a normal thing, and you guys are the ones that need something to maintain your happiness. I really admired that. I embraced that. I connected with that. And he wrestled in Kentucky. And when people wrestle in Kentucky, go listen to an Outrunners reaction in Kentucky on AEW. Go back and listen in Lexington to anybody that wrestled here. On those WWE or AEW shows, like once you become a resident of here, there's something about it here that connects you to it. So, I mean, I connected to that as well, but it is impossible to ignore some of these things. Right. And that's where a lot of the character, personality, human, all that blends. While he is also still a top-level performer, top-level draw, incredibly fascinating personality, still one of my dream interviews, and a fascinating human being as well. I just feel like it, from a societal standpoint, it is so weird where, like, listen, Hulk Hogan was a racist, is a racist, to the point to where the man said he was a racist and said things so uniquely racist that a guy from Kentucky has not ever quite heard anything to that level and never really apologized to the people that it was impacted by it. The majority of the CM Punk stuff is interpersonal issues that have become public, whether he likes it or not. And while I have no desire to see Hulk Hogan in that situation again, I have never looked at CM Punk and even, you know, the fights that he's gotten into and all that and said, man, gotta get that guy out. Gotta do that. There is an awful lot of stuff that I feel like people just want to eliminate. And I never use the term cancel culture. I think it's so stupid. But they're just ready to pack him up for anything. And make that the defining opinion on somebody forevermore, instead of maybe like, okay, let's hear what CM Punk has to say in his next interview about it. I mean, like, actual interview about it. Because I saw some people trying to compare. I saw some, just another Hogan. I'm like, whoa, what are we doing here? That is nowhere near comparable. How could you even compare those two? Wild. Somebody says, ever tried to interview Hogan? No. In fact, here's a little behind the scenes story. I mean, there's a number of people like Velveteen Dream passed up an interview with him. Passed up an interview with Flair. And again, I don't necessarily care if somebody interviews those people. They're not convicted of crimes. And there is a place in journalism and media for that. It's just, I make the rules. I decide if I want to. And if there's somebody with character issues in their past, oftentimes I will speak to either them or the person that is trying to arrange the interview and see if they'll take accountability and if they'll address it. For example, Moose took accountability, spoke to him directly, expressed my concerns. He was a man about it. Alberto Del Rio, I was told he was willing to speak about anything and everything, and we get 5 minutes into an interview, and he's completely victim-blaming and saying that he's not at fault over anything. It ends in us yelling at each other, and I'm like, got no interest in speaking with him. With Hogan, I don't think I was offered an interview, but there was a situation where it was 5.5 years ago. I did the hair donation thing. I grew out my hair to donate it in honor of a friend that I lost to cancer. And we were thinking of ways that not just we could make a cool moment, but we could encourage people to grow out their hair and donate it, or donate monetarily to like Wigs for Kids, things like that. Wonderful charity. And we spoke with a talent. Well, I'll just say it was Brutus the Barber Beefcake. Lovely gentleman. And I believe his wife, lovely, lovely woman. And I can't remember if they brought it up or somebody close to Hogan brought it up, but they had said, oh, well, we heard that you're doing this. Do you want him involved? And I was like, what the f-? No, I don't want Hogan involved. Absolutely not. I don't want Hogan involved. And I would have loved to have done it with Brutus. And it wasn't hinging on that. We just at the time had the opportunity that came up of us doing it with the Nightmare Collective, who were actively on AEW TV and were cutting people's hair off. And Awesome Kong was on Netflix on Glow at that point. So it made a little bit more sense from a relevance standpoint. But I got no issue with people that interview people like that. There's a place in media and all that. That's why, like, listen, I understand sometimes I get on a high horse about some things, but like, people got to work, and I hope when people do interview them, they say, hey, why'd you say that? And why was your apology so weird? You know, I hope the next person that interviews CM Punk says, what changed? How were your eyes opened? What adjusted here? Instead of just being like, yeah, this guy's a giant hypocrite. Maybe he will provide some stuff and enlighten it. No, I don't have the Del Rio interview on video. I believe the other person, the other end, was Zoom recording it, and I didn't get that. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. We are at the main event. I know that was an extended rant, but I just want to say I appreciate you guys for talking about it. Get your super chats, get your humper chats in. John Cena defeated CM Punk last time ever. They played a lot of hits here, and I think that's good. Again, for these two gentlemen, that's what you want to do. It is an impossible task to live up to Night of Champions 2011. Was that when, or Money in the Bank 2011? Was that it? Whenever they had their match. Impossible to live up to that. It's one of the best WWE matches of all time. In one of the best short form stories in pro wrestling history. And this is what you do. You bring back your elbow drop. You bring back your five moves of doom. You do three AAs. You do the catch roll through AA. You set up the GTS. I thought it was very smart for them to go this way. Everything got a reaction. It's going to in front of this crowd that does not get pro wrestling very often at all. Thought that that was a really wise way to construct it. And I know the interference at the end of all this wasn't for everyone. And it got crazy. The Oracle comes out. The ref bumps are just horrible. Like, how, you got to have that ref get clocked a little bit better than that, right? And it is something that Triple H has leaned on so much, man. So, so much. And his tropes are starting to become very, very evident. A lot of interference, a lot of three ways, a lot of four ways. Very few clean things. But the Oracle comes out. That's what we're calling him, the Oracle. But the best part of this match was Charles Robinson and that callback. Charles Robinson with one of the most iconic callbacks. What show was it that he did that run? I can't remember. I don't have that encyclopedic knowledge anymore because I don't update. I don't update all the resources on Fightful. By the way, cheap plug, Fightful.com. We're in the middle of a site integration. We have a resources section that has contract updates, injuries, all-time WrestleMania results, all that stuff. WrestleMania 24. That was almost 20 years ago. Jesus. It was like, what, 17, 18? Sprinting. Significantly slower than he was back then. You want to talk about a guy that loves it? Lil Nate loves it, man. Loves the business. What a guy. And gets, bam, clocked by John Cena. Because Seth Rollins is trying to cash in, by the way. How old is Charles Robinson? He's 60 taking bumps like that. He'll be 61 next week. 61? Oh my God, they even got the clip up with the thumbnail. Oh my God, he got annihilated. Phenomenal spot. Phenomenal spot. Then you got like Sammy and Penta and I'm like, Jesus Christ, man, what's Penta got to do with all this? All right. Penta's just bored, man. They flew him all the way over there for that. So throughout this, you had John Cena trying to decide if he's going to cheat. And he's showing some elements of like, oh, is he going to be a babyface? And he and CM Punk are there in the middle of the ring and they shake hands. And Cena does the look again. And I just want to say, I feel really bad that I assume that The Rock and even Travis Scott sort of like hamstrung him on such an important final run. And I swear, I'm trying to find out more about this. Because if I find out that The Rock just really peaced out in the middle of this guy's retirement run, oh my God. Like, what else was planned, right? Like, and I'm trying, and still nobody's talking yet. But yeah, Penta doing the little strut. Before saving him is like Jeff Hardy doing the dance. Is ridiculous. So Rollins interferes. Cena capitalizes. Gets the win. Despite all the interference, I liked it. It's just, it's a very annoying Triple H crutch. But I don't particularly mind it with the Cena thing. And I'll tell you why. When Cena came back, he said, I got to be real, guys. I shouldn't get a title shot. I suck. I don't win matches anymore. I can't win matches anymore. I haven't won a singles match since however long ago. So I got to win Royal Rumble or Elimination Chamber. And as things played out, I think everything happened the right way, except for The Rock and Travis Scott piecing out. But like, he's got to require a lot of interference and help and cheating because he's not in his prime anymore. That's the point of this. He's Ed Harris from Major League putting Crisco on his shoulder and Vaseline and spitting on the ball and everything he can to win a match because he does not have it like he used to have it. So I don't mind that at all. Pink says, the formulaic ref bump interference goofy finish trope for every main event the last 4 years is getting old. It certainly is. That's the thing. It's been this way for such a long time. And like, listen, we are going to see this in the main event of All In as well. We're going to see their Avengers Endgame. But what I am particularly excited to see in WWE and AEW is what is next? Because I feel like after the All In, when they'll probably do a Blood and Guts and then they will, bam, BCC slash Death Riders are cooked. I want to see what is it that they have after John Cena's title run. The Bloodline is cooked. Roman's going to come back probably for SummerSlam. There's some, not Ed. Yeah, it was Ed Harris. Yeah, it was Buddy, don't you? Yes, it was Eddie Harris. Don't you dare. Don't you dare. quote the Raven. Take your ass to Google. His name was Eddie Harris. Eddie Harris, played by Chelsea Ross. You trying to tell me Jesus Christ can't hit a curveball? That's him, buddy. Watch that move 50 times. Come on now. I don't mean Ed Harris, the actor. Ed Harris, the character. Come on now. Go to your Google machine. Look it up. You put snot on the ball? Yeah, that's who he's talking to. He's talking to Ed Harris. Come on. What's wrong with you guys? Do better. Anyway, I am interested to see creatively where these two companies go after this John Cena thing that has followed, you know, let's be real, four of the last 5 years has been Bloodline, and now we've got this John Cena thing. In AEW, we've had the Death Riders for the last year or so. So we got to hit an era of non-interference. Young Nasty Man says, was in denial hoping for the Raw 1000 pile driver. That is a good shout. What a freaking match. What a freaking match. One of my favorite WWE Raw spots. Bad Robot says, late to the stream, but overall pretty fun show. Interference, and it's getting ridiculous. How long till they get a Dairy Queen sponsor? Maybe we should get one. Then anytime there's a DQ, we can lean into it. Well, we do have a MyBookie sponsor, and they did pick John Cena to win, as we did. Use that code FIGHTFUL to get a $50 bonus on a $100 deposit or a $100 bonus on a $200 deposit. Please bet what you can and only, or please only bet what you can and please bet responsibly. Frank says, I enjoyed the show a lot. My only complaint of late is the weird finishes that also involve so much interference. Like Triple H does not want anyone to take a clean loss and overbooks everything. Frank, I'm glad you said that. I always think back to what people have said about Randy Savage. And they'd be like, oh, do you want a cheap win or a cheap loss, et cetera? He's like, man, I'm over. Win him in the ring, lose him in the ring, over enough to stay over. And that's what you need. If nobody gets over, nobody gets over. And if nobody ever gets a clean pin, what's the point in this? If half of these matches end in DQ or interference or no contest or something like that, then what is the point? What is the point? I know we live in an era where a lot of the TV matches have to mean a little bit of something, but goddamn, sometimes people just need to get over. Guys, please leave a thumbs up on this video. I want to thank you all so much for joining us later tonight. If you want somebody to really bury this show, Alex Pawlowski and Kate are doing Sands of Blind over on FightfulSelect.com, of which I beg of you guys to subscribe to. Apparently, Hikuleo is now known as Tala Tonga. Oh, hey, look at this. Vin says, was listening to you and Jimmy while I was barbecuing the other day, and my mom was visiting, came outside and heard you drop multiple F-bombs. Needless to say, I received a scolding from my mom. So, Vin, I try to not do that anymore. I'm sorry. I try to clean up the language because I feel like if you can't convey your point without that verbally, not doing a good job. Now, listen. Somebody's talking that trash, I'll F them all day, but I try to keep it calm on the show. Please follow our TikTok, our Instagram. We have Fightful Scraps, which is a YouTube channel with clips, but Fightful Espanol on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We are going to have an exclusive in the next couple of days. We don't do Fightful Select Espanol anymore. They're going to be free for Espanol viewers on those sites. And by that, I just mean the Espanol scoops, not the translated ones, but any scoops that we have in relation to Lucha Libre and the like. I want to say thank you all so much. Tune into Grapsody on Sunday. They'll talk about this show as well. I'm right back here on Monday at about 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Y'all know I go live personally right after these shows. I ain't waiting for Alex anymore. I ain't waiting for anybody. Until next time, we're out.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.